I'd like to welcome everybody to this call today. We are on the line with Greg Zolkowski, the president of Kaleidoscoops. Welcome. Thank you for joining us.
Well, thanks for having me.
Greg, as the president of Kaleidoscoops, has helped to found what I think can be described as none other than almost an ice cream co-op. Would you describe it as such, an alternative to franchising?
Oh, yes, it is a co-op. It is owned and all the stores contribute to the co-op, so it is not a franchise at all.
Okay. Take me back to how you started. You've been at this now for quite some time. Give me a little bit of the background, if you wouldn't mind, how you got into the ice cream business and when you arrived the decision that this was something that was needed in the marketplace.
Well, personally myself, I bought a Kaleidoscoops ice cream shop in January of 2006. But the story of Kaleidoscoops itself goes back to 1999 when all the Kaleidoscoops were non-existent and they were Baskin-Robbins stores. And at that time, from what I believe, Baskin-Robbins had some new corporate owners. And they made a corporate decision, from what I understand, to concentrate more on more major markets. And a lot of the smaller markets, which Amarillo, where our corporate office is based out of, was one of those markets. And it went all the way through from Texas into New Mexico, down through Mississippi and Alabama, and straight up the United States. And a lot of Baskin-Robbins franchisees, their contract was nullified. And they basically were stuck holding the bag, so to speak. So they still had inventory, and they had signs up, which they had a cease and desist notice that they couldn't do any B&R advertising or logos at all. So they had to make a quick decision on what they should do. And a lot of them had invested their lives and their money and their sweat in their stores, and that's not something they just wanted to walk away from. So they banded together and created a co-op, more or less. Franchises have a lot of restrictions. They let you know if you're going to be one of their franchisees, they've got rules that you need to abide by, and, you know, they expect you to, you know, toe the line. Where, since they've experienced that and they didn't want any surprises to come up, the store owners that were disenfranchised decided the best thing to do would just be to see if we could form a co-op where everybody would have a say-so in the company and decide on the direction where the chain should go. And it's worked out rather well. It's just that we still have kind of an identity crisis because we are spread out over close to 20 states, and we have 35 stores. And so we're not concentrated in any one area where people can really, recognize Kaleidoscoops and say, oh, I'm in so-and-so town, let's go to Kaleidoscoops. So that's our major push right now, is just to get the notoriety that we need and to grow.
Let me back up. That's fascinating. Let me back up for a minute and talk to you about, you guys are going along, and while there's rules and restrictions that have to be abided by as a franchisee, nobody was breaking those rules. Corporate just essentially decided they didn't want to be in these smaller markets, or did they stop franchising altogether?
No, they didn't stop franchising altogether. I mean, Baskin-Robbins is still going strong.
Right. I wasn't sure if they were company-owned. You know, some companies decide to start tightening the reins and having more corporate-owned stores. I wasn't sure if that was the push, but were they just picking on smaller markets?
Basically, yes. It's because they go through a phase every so many years to where they come up with a new floor plan or a new footprint for their store, and they say, this is our new scale model for what we perceive we want our stores to be, and then they go back to their franchisees and say, okay, here, we need you to remodel and do this, 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 and this, and it's going to cost you X amount of dollars, and if you don't do this, we'll come down hard on you. And some stores have actually closed because, it's once you pay $30,000 for a franchise fee and then you're giving up 8-12% in royalties right off the top, you've already invested a lot of money in your store just to have the right to operate. And if you have to every 10 years come by and remodel and do it to their specs, which I can see where Baskin Robbins might be coming from, because one of the big things they have is consistency throughout the whole chain, just like McDonald's. But at the same time, the one who really takes it hard is the franchisee, the one who supposedly is owning the store to begin with. So they did move out of smaller markets. I guess they didn't feel that they were viable, and everything was becoming more urban. So they, from what I understand, just said, hey, effective such and such date, you will not be a Baskin-Robbins franchisee. Now, I don't know all the particulars as far as the legalities of it, but in a nutshell, that's basically what happened. And so out of that fire came the phoenix and rose up as Kaleidoscoops.
Kaleidoscoops. How did that happen? Did somebody spark a phone tree and one former or soon-to-be former Baskin-Robbins franchisee called another, and you decided to have a meeting?
Yes. I mean, there was a group conference call with Baskin-Robbins. And so there were, and Baskin-Robbins was in a lot of towns. So, for instance, in West Texas, there was Amarillo and Lubbock and Midland, Odessa. And they're all about 100 miles apart, but they're all tied together. I mean, they all face the same things in their markets. And so it wasn't as if they were just isolated, but at the same time, they were, basically dictated by what Baskin-Robbins said they were going to do. So, they all experienced it at the same time, and they all looked at each other and said, hey, what are we going to do now? We've invested this much money and sweat and tears into it, and we just don't want to walk away from it. So they banded together, they pooled money together and hired an attorney and look to find out who could make ice cream for them, and everything just seemed to fall into place. Now, it took a lot of work and a lot of burning the midnight oil to get all this stuff done. But eventually, go ahead.
No, I just said, of course, sounds like a pretty massive shift to get new cups and signage and suppliers and try to hold on to your customer base that maybe had become loyal and associated with you with that brand.
Well, and that's true. I mean, the one thing that they knew what would experience would be once that name off the building came off and you put up a different name, whether it be a month later or whatever the case may be, people don't know who you are. And they're skeptical. And so you lose an X amount of business right off the top just because you lose that, national brand, moniker that's on your building. So, it was a struggle. And in a sense, it still is a struggle. People still call my shop up and say, is this Baskin-Robbins? And we politely say, no, we're not. But we mirror a lot of what Baskin-Robbins does. So we welcome you to come in and take a look at what Kaleidoscoops is. And that's where the good part is, because we actually, even though we have nothing to do with Baskin-Robbins whatsoever, we still are an ice cream shop. It's the hard scooped, and it reminds people of when they grew up and the ice cream stores they used to go to. So we have not abandoned that whatsoever. But what makes us different is every store is probably different. We, as a co-op, we don't force you to have the same floor plan as everybody else. You own your own business, and that is basically the key to the success of Kaleidoscoops.
Do you think that are the names different amongst different Kaleidoscoops owners? Is that the name of the we just had it. Starts with a C. The not the consortium, but the co-op. Pardon. Is that the name of the co-op, or does everybody carry the Kaleidoscoops name?
Everybody carries the Kaleidoscoops name, and that's where you have to get your brand loyalty, and you've got to grow your brand. And if everybody called it something different, we'd be fragmented. And
of course,
so,
sure.
So in order to grow and to expand that national brand, we have to keep the name Kaleidoscoops. It was Kaleidoscoops and More, because the more actually meant that you could sell different things in your store, but that's basically a given. So we kind of changed our logo up a little bit. Instead of having a little wheel over to the left of Kaleidoscoops in our logo, now we have an ice cream cone to more identify what we are. And also, we took away the "and more" part of that. Now it's just premium hand-dipped ice cream. And so if it's anything to do with ice cream, we can do it.
What was the reaction to a lot of your customers? I'm sure there were some that were regulars that you may have been able to prep in advance, let them know the name would be changing. And were they happy with the change in ice cream once they had a chance to try some of their flavors? I know you do have some similar offerings. In fact, just as many flavors, if not more, than you had before. Can you talk to me a little bit about that?
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know, it's just like, say, for instance, right now, JCPenney's just went through a major change. And they changed their logo up, and they're advertising the whole works. Well, when Kaleidoscoops started out, we really didn't have an advertising budget. So it wasn't like we could, and plus we couldn't really use Baskin-Robbins' name. So we can't say formally Baskin-Robbins, and now Kaleidoscoops has, you know, ice cream and blah, blah, blah. So it kind of, you know, was tied our hands up as what we could actually do. Now, yes, we had loyal customers, and we still do. But just driving down the street, when that sign comes off and another one comes back up on your building, people are going to, you know, say, "Gosh, I wonder what that is. I wonder if they have the same ice cream or not." And they go, "We'll find out." You know, half
sure.
of them will come back in, and half of them won't. And
yeah.
So there is, you know, there was an anticipated drop in volume that all stores experienced. And whenever we do have a Baskin-Robbins store contact us when their contract is up, and if they were to become a Kaleidoscoops, they experience that also. It's just the people are just very skeptical, and you really have to go out there and earn their business. And that's something we really look forward to, because we've got a great, great product line. We've got good premium ice cream. We feel the best on the market. So, but, you know, it takes the almighty dollar to help lure some people back in.
Sure. Are there some, as you go across your list of Kaleidoscoops, some that didn't feel the hit as much when the marquee was changed because they were more convenience-driven, maybe foot traffic-driven? I'm wondering if that would play a role.
Well, yes. I mean, there were some that said, you know, that probably wished they could have stayed a Baskin-Robbins. I mean, face it, Baskin-Robbins is an incredibly internationally known company with been around for how many years, and they're just ingrained in there. When you think of ice cream, sometimes that's what you think of. You know, we need to try to change that. But at the same time, there are other companies out there that are just doing a fantastic job just being an ice cream shop. There are a lot of independents out there. But we wanted to continue with trying to grow a national brand. And there wasn't really any, you know, 10 years ago that were that had the I mean, we had stores spread out everywhere. We needed to have some kind of unity that we could bind these stores together, but yet have a national brand at the same time, not just a local name for this shop and another name for that shop.
Sure.
So we just didn't want to be a supplier. We wanted to be a national brand.
Well, it's relatively new. You said this was back in 90, early 90s?
Well, 1999, actually.
Oh, late 90s, early 2000. Okay. That's going to obviously take some time, but I think what you guys offer, what people listening should also consider is the fact that there may be some drop in volume as a result of a different name that people aren't familiar with, but there's also a drop in your considerable drop in your expenses. Now, when you were talking about the percentage that's taken off the top, when you say taken off the top, is that off the gross earnings, or do they take that after after your costs are backed out?
No, it comes right off the top. For instance, you do a day's worth of business. When you close, that percent that you are being assessed comes right off the top and into their bank. And in the electronic world, you know, it the instant gratification. They can get their money just that quick. And so it's just there shouldn't be – in order to have a good living doing what you really love to do, things shouldn't be that hard and that complicated. And that's one of the things we strive to do is, you know, ice cream business should be a great, fun business. You meet a lot of people. You serve a lot of families. You've got a great product that everybody loves. You know, shouldn't let all the financial stuff just burden you down. And that's what we're trying to do is just say, hey, you know, Kaleidoscopes is a co-op. Instead of paying $30,000 for a national brand, you pay $3,000 as a membership fee to join our co-op. And then dues are $600 a year or $150 a quarter, however you want to look at it. And that's it. There's no other marketing fees, no advertising fees, or whatever the case may be. And built into the price of our ice cream are, you know, delivery fees. Naturally, it does take an expense to get ice cream to all our stores when the manufacturer is in Ludington, Michigan. And that's one of the major things that we have to try to work around is logistics because we're so far and spread out. But
right. That's
sort of the growing pains of making this brand grow.
So there's going to be some areas, you know, as we had mentioned during our pre-call, that may not be as well suited. For example, Florida, it's just going to be the distance factor. But as you radiate from Michigan, I guess the further you are from there is logistically going to pose the challenge. However, Michigan's in the center of the country, so there's going to be a whole lot of folks who are well within serviceable territory and make this option feasible.
Yeah, and we've overcome a lot of obstacles. I mean, we've got it down to a fine art right now, but that's basically taking the center of the United States where most of our stores are. We do have lots of opportunity going into Arizona and Nevada and also moving to the East Coast. We have a store in Virginia, and actually it's one of our top stores in the whole co-op. We just have some independent trucking lines who meet our qualifications as far as delivering ice cream that, you know, it can be done. But there's a few things that we have to do in order to get that ice cream to them. You know, we just can't drop off four cases or four tubs a week for you. That just isn't feasible. So, you know, we do have some stipulations there, and it's just common sense. But you know, that's part of what my job is to not only to figure out what it's going to take to make Kaleidoscopes grow and to try to make our stores more profitable, but also what we can do, you know, what's our marketing plan? How are we going to achieve this? And that's what I have to do. And it's challenging, but, you know, anything that's as challenging as what we're up against just makes it that much more worthwhile.
Oh, absolutely. And I think what you're doing is a good thing. And offering this as an opportunity to many people who have been a little bit turned off by the franchise. And I think franchises, with the right franchise, you can't globally say franchises because franchises are structured very differently from one to the next. But they do have some universal benefits and challenges. The benefits of having a nationally known leveraged brand to use out of the gate, challenges being the expense. And I think some people also anticipate getting more help sometimes than they actually get for their dollar. Would you say that's accurate?
Oh, yes. I mean, when you buy a franchise, you know, they're very upfront with saying, okay, first of all, we have to have like a letter of intent. You know, are you really serious about this? And so that's why they want you to buy a franchise. I would assume that's why they would want you to buy that franchise fee. And whether it be $20,000 to $30,000, that's still right off the top before you even set foot in a store of any kind. But they do have some things that a co-op might not have. They don't have a built-in corporate office with a huge staff, one who can, you know, set up stores, one who can take care of, you know, like an HR department and IT department and all this stuff. That's where the individuality of each store with a co-op comes in. You run your business. We don't get in your business and say, okay, what were your sales for the month of January? You were up or you were down. How come? You know, you're faced with enough things when you're a store owner. You don't need a corporate office coming down your back and questioning everything that you do. It's your business. If you're successful, hey, we want to share that success with the rest of the people in our co-op. So if they're not doing the same things you are, hey, you know, we need to make it available to them. At the same time, if you say, gosh, you know, I was X amount of percent down this year versus last year, what do you suggest? Well, we're right there to help them. I mean, you know, you're not by yourself, but you are the steer or the commander of your own ship. You have the ability to look at your market and decide what's best, and what you put into it is what you're going to get out of it.
What do you typically? How do you typically support each other? Is it in the way of regular conference calls, or do you have an annual meeting where everybody comes together? How does that typically work?
Well, we do have an annual meeting where we try to get all store manager, or I should say store owners, together. And we do have a convention. We go over our financials for the year, what we expect to do next year, and look at marketing plans and things of that nature. And then during the year, we try to also, I try to go and make and visit a lot of stores and help them along in some fashion, whether it be a source for trying to get new equipment or how to do something, make sure that their recipes are, we try to have some consistency there. If you walk into a store in Alabama, you know, you would hope to get the same tasting item, whether in it be in Michigan. So that's something we try to make sure that everybody adheres to. But each store, we have a board of directors, and each year the board of directors, a person on the board, put it that way, is elected to that position by the members. They vote on it, and they're for a three-year term, and they can serve no more than two consecutive three-year terms, and then the board decides what, you know, position or director what responsibility they will have on the board, and it's mostly all store owners, so we all have the same frame of mind of, you know, what we're up against as far as the challenges of the business.
Okay.
So that really, you know, cements everybody in together, and it's really a great opportunity to bounce ideas off of each other, and it's I can't see how we could survive without not having a convention. That just helps solidify everything that we do.
I think a lot of the unity that comes from being associated with something can help. Peace of mind, I mean, going into business is a tough thing, and to know that you're not alone and you have people carrying the same flag, maybe in different areas of the country, but that are, you know, have grappled with the same situations, and having a support network is big, no matter if you are an independent or part of a co-op. But it seems like the system you guys have come up with really does help to address that, and people support each other because they're not competing. So that's nice. Do you have restrictions about territory?
No, not really. It's it just depends. We're really in smaller markets. There's not many really large markets that we're in. And that was, I think, one of the goals of our competitor is to, you know, to leave the smaller markets and concentrate on larger ones. So when we're in a smaller market, it's usually that store owner knows whether that market would actually uphold or be profitable to put in a second unit. And if somebody okay. from that area were to say, hey, I have an interest of opening up a Kaleidoscopes, there's already one in my town, I'd like to maybe open up another one, you know, we're honest and just say, hey, you know, we think another store in that area would be great. Or we sure. might say, well, you know what, we have one there, and this is the situation that they're in, so we're not real sure how successful you would be in that market with another Kaleidoscopes already there. So if we were in a Dallas-Fort Worth area, there probably wouldn't hardly be, you know, we'd have to have a mile restriction, like within 3 or 5 square miles of that shop, nobody else could open up another one. But in an individual store, you know, like a $200,000 population, it's, you know, it's something you really have to look at pretty hard.
Do people come to you, many of your the people in your current base of Kaleidoscopes stores are former Baskin-Robbins franchisees. Are there people who have come to you who have no store at all, they're starting, have heard about the concept? Is that something that is relatively new, or do people do that, or is it something you're just starting to pursue more heavily?
Through the internet, we've been able to get a lot of people. You know, when first thing you do is you say, well, you know, I've seen this store, whatever. Boy, I think I really like their ice cream. If I were to ever, want to open up my own business, this is what I would like to do. First thing they're going to do is go to the internet and start doing a search on ice cream franchises, whatever the case may be, and just start checking that out. And when they come across Kaleidoscopes and they see, well, gosh, an ice cream co-op, what in the heck is that? They're just intrigued enough to where they'll contact us and say, hey, I'm interested in opening up an ice cream shop. We have a special hotline that they can call. It comes straight to me. We have a web address that they can see the ice cream or Kaleidoscopes story. And
do you have the phone number handy? Why don't we give the phone number out now if you have it handy?
I sure do. Let me, it's 1-800.
Nothing like putting you on the spot.
Yeah, you kind of, let's see. I've got my screen open here, and probably brochure. Here we go. The number would be 877-433-5147.
Terrific. Terrific. Okay.
And And then also there's an email address they can go to. It's info@kaleidoscoops.com. So those are both ways that people can contact us and just say, hey, my name is so-and-so, and I'm interested. Can you send me anything, or how can I contact you where we could talk about it more? And we'll do it that way. There's no pressure, nothing at all. We just want you to feel that if this is something you want to do, we're behind you 100%, and we'll help you all that we can.
Well, it sounds like a nice approach to business, and I think that if you are you currently doing any sort of trade shows where there's other franchises, are you allowed into shows where they're doing franchises, since it's not officially a franchise? I would think some people might not know about the co-op concept.
Well, that's the one of the marketing areas that we're stepping into right now. With the National Ice Cream Association, they have a convention once a year. And we have not been in that, but we hope to be this year, hope to have a booth up where, people can come by our booth, sample ice cream, see our brochures, see what we have to offer, and then they can just make up their own minds when they start, you know, comparing us to other companies or even franchisees or franchises to see, hey, you know, they really seem to have the best deal and the best ice cream. So that money that we would be putting in just to buy a franchise name, we could take that to buy equipment. And, you know, that's half the battle right there. So there's a lot of advantages to being with the Kaleidoscoops co-op versus a franchise. How the other franchisers would or look at us at a trade show, we're going to find out real quick. And I also want to attending not only ice cream conventions, but there are franchise trade shows also, where a bunch of franchises will get together, and they, whether it be in a hotel or in a convention room, and they start peddling their ware just like I would. Except the only thing is, I can say, hey, look at the comparison. And so we'll see how far that goes.
Well, I think that your offering is certainly unique. It's the first I've heard of this type of approach, and I have actually heard other people talking about some of the concerns they come up with as an independent, and not having the support, not having pricing power. They're a bit fearful to get into the business independently, but this sounds like you kind of get the best of both worlds. So I really wish you great success in developing the Kaleidoscoops brand, and we'll put the phone number to Kaleidoscoops, your hotline, as well as a link to your website, maybe your info contact request form. You've got a great website, and people can find it that way on this page. Before I close out with you, I always like to ask, geared towards, well, people in the business who may be tired of having their franchise or people considering getting into the business, what piece of advice could you give?
Well, the first thing is, if this is something that you feel that you would want to do or anybody want to do, I would really do a lot of research in it. And it's not just something you jump into and wake up and say, guess what, I'm an ice cream store owner, you know. There's a lot of behind-the-scenes things that have to go on for you to be successful. And in any business, with, you know, if you own a business, it's not an 8-to-5 job. We all know that. And a lot of the rewards are more than just financial also. Believe me, I've made so many dear, great friends by working behind the counter and owning my shop. And that's, you really can't put a price on that. But if you have the determination and the passion to succeed, a Kaleidoscoops would be a perfect fit for you, because it allows you to do the things that you want. We actually encourage store owners to sell other items besides ice cream. So if you wanted to have, and this is just a for instance, whether you wanted to sell hot dogs or or sandwiches or pizza or bagels or muffins or have a breakfast run or gourmet coffee, more power to you. We want you to be as profitable as you can possibly be, but still be in charge of your own destiny. We don't tell you how to do it. We try to help you along. So do your research and just make sure that you compare apples to apples. And I think you'll find that we actually fit more people's optimistic look of what they would like to do owning their own business than a lot of franchises would be.
Well, it sounds amazing, and it's a great concept, and I wish you the best of luck. I especially thank you for taking the time with us today to talk to us a little bit about this unique concept and your story, and invite anybody who's interested in learning more about it to give you a call, visit your website, and check you guys out. Thank you so much, Greg.
Well, thank you so much for having me. I appreciate it very much. And if anybody needs anything, you've got our number. Give me a shout, and I'd be glad to help you all I can.
All right, then. Thank you so much. You have a great day.
Well, thank you, and you guys take care.
Bye now.
Bye-bye.